What's up, everybody? You are now listening in to the Truth Pace Podcast. I am your host, Joe Jesse. And today, we're going to talk about that finesse. That game of finesse, better known as the internet. Oh, there's so many ways to finesse people. And so many people are falling for it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've seen, some of the things that I've heard, and a couple things that I know in regards to how people try to finesse people with either ads, things that they offer online, or really just the life that they're living. They ain't living like that. And we're going to get into that. Followed by my favorite segment, Don't Ask a Black Person. You gonna like this one today. As always, those of you who have subscribed, shout out to you. To this day, I still get people like, where's the Truth Pace? Where's the Truth Pace? We need more Truth Pace. I hear y'all. I'm currently sitting in my car in the parking lot of a metropolitan market, getting ready to get some groceries as I record this. I'm trying to put out as much content as I can, and I'm bringing it to you as fast as I can as well. So those of you subscribed or on my ass pause about getting content out, I appreciate you because of you. New listeners like yourself, if you're listening for the first time, you're the reason why you're getting some of this content. So shout out to all the new listeners out there. And as always, real people, real topics, real funny. But on this episode, we're definitely going to get into some of that real talk. It's Truth Pace. Brush up. The Truth Pace Podcast, and like I said, we're gonna get into a lot, but the focus of today's episode is going to be the internet and the game of finesse. And for those of you who don't know what I mean by finesse, I mean, I can even go with the literal definition, which could be a noun, intricate and refined delicacy, an orchestra playing of great finesse, right? Because there's part of that in it, but it's also an attempt to win a trick with a card that is not a certain winner, right? Okay, a maneuver, a ruse, a trick, right? But the actual action to finesse is to do something in a subtle and delicate manner, right? To play in the hope of winning a trick with it, right? So it's basically to trick with great delicacy and grace. Okay, so a lot of people are doing that on social media. And they're doing it in a number of different ways. And I'm not going to say who. I'm not here for that. But some of you may figure it out. I remember seeing a guy on social media who used to post these videos of himself in front of these really luxurious cars and inside these expensive homes. And he'd have this jewelry on, and what he was talking about was actually pretty positive. He was, you know, pretty much saying, you know, you gotta grind, you gotta get up every day and find a reason to get after it. You gotta find a reason to get up and hustle and achieve the goals that it is that you want. I mean, look at this shit. I mean, I got up every day, and I didn't listen to any haters, I didn't listen to any doubters, I didn't listen to anybody who said I couldn't do it. I stuck to my grind. It took me a minute, but I got it, and it's mine. Well, all that's fine and dandy until you find out that none of that stuff in those videos were actually his. Those homes he was in, they did not belong to him. Those vehicles, not belong to him. The jewelry he was wearing did not belong to him, right? And so what ends up happening is now he had gotten to the point where he had gotten so many views that he now had to keep it up. But he had gotten so many views that now he was to the point where he kind of had to explain himself. And that's not the position that you want to be in. You don't want to be in a position where you have to explain yourself after you've already gone with the elaborate scheme of appearing to be this guy who was able to get all this money and all these material things simply by working really hard and grinding it out. But in reality, none of this shit is actually yours. Yeah, it's a tough sell. But the sad reality of it is that he had to post with that shit in order to get people to pay attention to what it was that he was doing. That's the sad reality of all this shit. That's the part he can't mention. That's the part he can't say. He can't say, hey guys, none of this shit is mine. But if I were trying to deliver this message otherwise, and I didn't have this nice shit, y'all wouldn't believe me. I'm just trying to be positive. What's wrong with that? Well, if you're trying to be positive, show us the proof. Show the proof that that positive shit works. What you got? We know it's working over here. What you got? We want to know what you got over there. Is that shit working? What you driving? Where you living? What kind of jewels you holding? Like, all that stupid shit that doesn't matter. But I gotta post that shit in order to get you to pay attention to me. It's sad. I know of another gentleman who I also won't name, who you probably see often on YouTube. Who, I mean, probably now, I think he's actually making really good money now, but I remember in the beginning, this gentleman would post videos talking about pretty much like how he got rich. A lot of the times he's in front of, I remember in the beginning he'd be in front of like a really nice Ferrari, or he'd be walking around this really nice mansion, this really expensive house, and he's talking about how, you know, he's got this secret to, you know, creating wealth, and he's talked to a lot of people. A lot of very smart people made a lot of money about how to accumulate wealth, and he's got the secret. And of course, he wouldn't deliver the secret. You'd have to go to his website, most likely purchase some sort of guide, and then voila, there's the secret. I never played into it because I saw it a mile away. I knew what it was, and it was genius. I'm not knocking it, it was very smart. When I was thinking about it, I was like, man, that's really smart. And it was almost believable until a real estate agent that I trust had mentioned that they had heard from another agent, a friend of theirs, that this gentleman was pretty much soliciting homes to do these videos. These weren't his homes. That house he was in, that's not his. But in his defense, which isn't even necessary, but in his defense,
because I think it's a little bit fucked up, but at the same time, like, in his defense, he had to do that in order to get people to believe what he was selling so that they would purchase and then download whatever his guide was. If I'm in my apartment and I made $500 extra this month versus $0 last month doing something, why can't I show you that? So what if I drive, you know, a Honda? Who gives a shit? Like, could you use $500 extra? Now, if it's like some pyramid scheme shit, fuck all that. If you listen to my podcast, you know how I feel about pyramid schemes. But on some regular, like, creating an online business and do digital marketing, yeah, like, here's the jug, you know. But you've got to maximize it, and the way you maximize it is you appear as if you've made thousands, possibly millions of dollars doing this. Whoa. That's amazing. And obviously that's the goal, is to be able to make that kind of money doing this. But sadly, that only happens when I first appear as if I've made that amount of money, so that I have enough people to buy in to what it is I'm selling, so that I can purchase the things that it is that it appears that I have. Fake it until you make it, and once I make it, you can purchase it. It's crazy. I know people who post stuff that's not true. I know people who post photos late on purpose to appear as if they're either still or back on vacation. I've seen it. And they've admitted it. You know, I ain't capping. That's not me. You know, I ain't snitching either. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. I don't play those games. But it's sad that people do. For the look, the appearance. And if they're doing that to appear a certain way in order to achieve a certain status, well, then goddamn, that's crazy. I hear it all the time. Money make money. You gotta show money to make money. I've heard rappers in interviews talk about as soon as they purchase certain items, certain deals started coming their way, certain opportunities started coming their way. Buy a Rolls Royce, okay. Well, this guy clearly is doing something to the point where he's financially able to have a Rolls Royce, so let's figure out what he's doing. Because if I can afford one, he can afford one, but we could probably make some money together. What is it that you do? It's easy as that. But, I mean, to what limit is one willing to go in order to finesse the audience into believing what it is that they're selling? I recently saw a video on Vice about the Miami luxury exotic rental car business. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar, alright, I'll give you two perspectives. I'll give you what the documentary is about, and then I'll give you my perspective from actually living down there for a few years. So, in the documentary, they describe the perspective of it kind of being a lifestyle. When you go down to Miami, and Vice did a very good job keeping it very, very real, but I think there was a few things that they were missing. They were basically saying it's a lifestyle. Exotic cars and South Beach go hand in hand, right? It's just a thing. And there are only a handful of places and people that'll rent certain vehicles to you. And the business of leasing and renting out these exotic cars is a very difficult business because, I mean, you think of the logistics of like the insurance and the cost for potential damage and then the potential insurance for drivers, passengers, for like a Nissan Sentra. You know what I mean? Like, that policy is, you know, it's not a small policy because, for the most part, it's got to be able to cover everybody. You think about that same type of policy for a goddamn, Lamborghini or Huracan. It's going to be a couple Nissans worth of policy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not no cheap shit. And if that car gets totaled, that car is expensive to replace, or that car is expensive to fix. So to do it legit, you've got to be able to have the capital, or at least someone, to be able to handle the insurance on the back end for something like that. And if you don't, well, then you might have to do what's a part of the second part. And that's what they had with this gentleman. I don't remember homie's name. His name ain't worth mentioning, because we're going to talk about the ultimate finesse. This gentleman finessed his way onto Vice, appearing as a renter of exotic cars. Come to find out, that wasn't the case. So, long story short, Vice followed this guy for 2 days around as he kind of dropped off exotic cars and leased or rented out exotic cars to people. And his whole thing is like, okay, you don't got the credit that this place wants you to have in order to rent it out. I'm gonna look past that, but I'm gonna need a little extra cash up front. Now, to a legit person, that won't work. That deal won't work. You know what I mean? And for the most part, I mean, well, that deal may work, but I mean, for your everyday person who really wants to just rent an exotic car and drive it in 80 degree weather, it's sunshine, like, yeah, you're in Miami, I get it. But, you know, to the dope boy who's trying to stunt for Memorial Day weekend in Miami and he's come down there with a duffel bag full of cash, yeah, this is your guy. Credit. I ain't got no debit card. I trap. You know what I mean? Well, let me take that back. Niggas got debit cards now. But credit, I'm not out here like that. I got a bunch of cash. What's good? And for the most part, you can't do something like that. At least I wouldn't. I wouldn't do something like that, especially with the cost of these cars. And most people who are legit business won't take claims like that. But the gentleman, I don't remember the name of the exotic car company, but he was saying that Instagram was a huge reason as to why his business became so popular. They have an in-house photographer, and whenever they get a new vehicle or whenever they kind of do something new to one of their vehicles, they shoot it, post it on Instagram. Their photos are really nice. They do a really good job at it. vehicles and their whole fleet looked really dope. And they said once that kind of got out, it started working with a younger demographic, which is strange considering it's much more difficult for younger people to rent cars like that. But at the same time, I mean, it reached that audience, and I mean, if you got the money, you got the money. You know, it is what it is. But the gentleman also mentioned that there are a lot of people doing some shady business, and not everyone is any legit. And he himself even mentioned that in the very beginning of him doing his business, he had to do a couple things too that weren't necessarily legit, but it got him to where he is now, and now he's able to run a legit business, so he gets it. So they end the show with the gentleman who's out here leasing or rent. I don't know why I keep saying leasing. He's out here renting. Well, I know why I keep saying leasing. He's out here renting the vehicles to, you know, the dudes for extra cash. Vice is like, so have you been finessing us this whole time? Because the dude's talking about it's just all finesse. Like, people get the car, they post it on Instagram, they appear as if they got this, and then now people think that they can do certain things, or that they're, you know, of a certain status, or, you know, whatever. It's just a bunch of finesse. It's just finessing people into getting them to believe something that's not necessarily true. And so Vice asked him straight up, like, are you finessing us? And he said, yeah. About that, he was like, yeah, you know, I'm basically not who I don't own these cars. He was driving Lamborghini. He's like, I don't own these cars, you know, I pretty much sublease these cars. I rent them, and then somebody hits me, and then I hand them off to them for some cash. Is it risky? Yeah. Is it illegal? Yeah. You know, but at the end of the day, like, I'm gonna be successful. I'm gonna make it. Like, I know one day I'm gonna have these things. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, shit. That's the other part of it. There's a lot of that. A lot of that in Miami. There's a lot of that in Los Angeles. And there's a lot of that all over the internet. To the point where recently on Inc.com, I ran into this article about social media obsession being something that teens are worried about based on a study. And it showed that 1 in 3 teenagers believe tech companies are manipulating them to spend more time on social media. It's finesse. It's all finesse. The internet is all about finesse. Who has the best finesse game until it's legit? And once it's legit, the sad part is it's like people don't care anymore. It's like people want to be finessed. I don't get it. In the article, it says during the last 6 years, social media use among U.S. teens aged 13 to 17 has increased dramatically, with 70% checking social media platforms multiple times a day, up from 34% in 2002, according to a study from Common Sense Media. The San Francisco-based nonprofit studies how tech and media impact kids. One of the driving factors behind this trend is growing smartphone ownership among teenagers, which has more than doubled from 41% in 2012 to 89% today, the study said. Whoa. And these companies know. They know. Think they're not keeping track of how many smartphones are getting sold? The average age of users signing on to these social networks affects the average age of users playing these games and using these apps? Of course. It's not hard to find that information. And if they're trying to get this info and use it to finesse their audience to make more money, then that's what the fuck they're gonna do. All this is a game of finesse. Sad thing is finesse is one of my favorite words. It was my first rap name, no lie. And for obvious reasons, right? For the simple sake of what the word means. But I mean, I guess it goes back to like doing something delicately, but in a remarkable way. That's really more so of what I meant. But it's not about me. It's about the internet. It's a big game of finesse, especially with attention spans being short, airtime being short, and visibility becoming more and more limited, because the space for visibility is getting smaller and smaller and smaller by the day. The more stuff we see, the less stuff we pay attention to. And we're seeing a lot of shit. I'm on the only social networks that I have currently on my phone are Instagram and Twitter. Twitter, I barely even open that. Instagram, I check probably 4, maybe 5 times a day. And that's mainly because I don't have the notification set. So if I'm at work and I'm not, you know, I'm not hanging out with my daughter, I might check it more often just because I might get some videos of her. But other than that, I'm not really checking it. And even then, I still feel like that's too much. So when I go back to thinking about how I was on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Periscope, all at the same damn time, it makes me tired just thinking about it. But the amount of finesse that I'm having to dodge on a daily basis with this shit is probably exhausting. And I think for me, it was something that I was able to notice and kind of stay away from. And luckily, the kids now are recognizing it and are like, yeah, no, I think these companies are trying to get us, and that shit's not cool. In this same study, it says that teens are increasingly using social media apps like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They admit to being wary of the companies behind these platforms. 1 in 3 teenagers believe that tech companies are manipulating them to spend more time on their sites and on their devices. The percentage who say they feel, quote, addicted to social media has risen only slightly, however, from 20% in 2012 to 24% today. So you're telling me 24% of teens feel addicted to social media. How big does the number need to be? I shouldn't laugh. But it is, because it's a goddamn joke, right? How high does that number need to be until we're like, oh shit, is that 24? We round it up to 25, 30, 40, 50? Like, if 50% feel addicted, that's not worth doing something. Goddamn phone companies salivating at the thought of people being addicted to their product. So much product we could sell. Oh my god. It's frightening. It's frightening. It's not right. wish it was something. I hope it is something. And it looks to be. I hope it is something that a lot more people are looking into and paying attention to. This is a serious thing. Fellas, if your girlfriend has over 6,000 followers on Instagram, no, let me take that back. If she has over 10,000 followers on Instagram, you, my friend, have a side dude in your relationship. The sad thing is, ain't nothing you can do about it. She got a side dude, bro. You're gonna have to swallow this one. It is what it is. If she has a K in her followers, she's cheating on you. 100%. And it's not what you think. Oh, no, no, no. You look me in the face. No, Joe. My girl ain't cheating on me. It ain't like that. She's different. She don't let that shit. Okay. You can say what you want. And I'm not saying that she's sleeping with somebody else. I didn't say that. I just said that you've got a side dude in your relationship. And this side dude is named Instagram. Instagram for, I know for a lot of women. I can't speak for men only because I don't know enough of them who have that amount of followers. But I know for the women who do, that when you hit a certain amount, posting feels like a job. And the amount of attention a single post gets is very addicting for a lot of people. There's studies on that. There's studies on how likes and engagements on a post are very similar to dings going off on a slot machine. The same feeling. Your notifications go off with that same feeling, right? And I know people who allow social media to fuck up their day. If social, you know, if Instagram goes down, they're pissed. Day is ruined. Instagram. To me, anyway. But I don't have the amount of followers that would, I guess, have me fall in love with the process of posting. I can't provide that feeling of what it must feel like to get thousands of likes on something you post on the regular. It's always a place you can go to for refuge. It's always a place you can go to for love. It's always a place you can go to for safety. Is it real? But it is what it is. She's cheating on you. As soon as you're not given the level of love that she wants, now she's back on that ground. Because they gonna give it up, no problem. That's what they're here for. The sad reality, like, here's the funny thing. The sad reality is that. This is what's sick, is that the sad reality is that the same photos that are garnering attention are the same types of looks that make it overlooked at home, which could be the reason as to other person in question feels like they're kind of in a fucked up situation. You can't win for losing, right? But it's all a game of finesse. Fake it till you make it. People out here posting photos, videos with their children. Don't be seeing their kids. It's fucked up. People posting old videos of them on vacation. Photos with them and celebrities acting like you're kicking it, you just ran into them. It's it's difficult because I get it. I don't like it. And that's the difficult part. So I just don't like it. It's just not my thing. But if that's the game that's being played right now, is that the game that I need to play? Question of morals? No, I don't think so. I guess I'll just stay away from it. But I'm conscious that in certain places, the level of finesse rises greatly. And personally, I believe that the internet, social media in particular, is a place where people, the users, the audience, and now, as you heard, these bigger companies are all figuring out a way to finesse all of us into purchasing products, reviewing products, tasting products, whatever the hell it is that they need for their company. It's on the way. It's crazy, man. Russia.
Don't ask a black person about what the hell is going on with Kanye West. We don't know either. Okay? We don't know. We don't know what's wrong with this man. 1 minute, he's talking about slavery was a choice. Next minute, he's apologizing. Nobody's hearing the apology. Next minute, he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Then right after that, he drops Yay. And then right after that, he starts talking shit about Drake. And then after that, we find out that the next drop of Yeezys is going to be the largest drop there's been. So Kanye's keeping... You know, he's getting closer to keeping his promise to everyone who wants Yeezys being able to have Yeezys. I've never been a part of anyone. It's hard, man. This is difficult. It's difficult right now. Because he says some wild shit. And we ain't fucking with him no more. And then he drops some fire music. And it's like, eh, you know what? I'm just going to give him some time. And then he wears the Make America Great hat again. And it's like, you know what? I knew I wasn't fucking with him. And then we find out that a whole bunch of Yeezys are going to drop. And it's like, you know what? Maybe I understand. Kind of, you know, his method. Like, what? We're confused too, fam. You gonna sit here and ask me about Kanye West,
I'm gonna look back at you and be like, well, you tell me what you think. Cause I sure as hell don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to hate the man and love the artist, or if I'm supposed to dislike all of the above, or if this is the artist talking, I'm supposed to dislike the artist and forgive the human being. We're confused too, fam. I don't know. Now he done move. I guess he done moved back to Chicago. He trying to get back to his roots, I guess. Which sounds great. Don't know what that means. And to be honest with you, I don't know enough about Chicago to know if he's gonna be actually, if he's gonna actually be living in Chicago. Because in reality, he could say that he's living in LA. He wasn't living, his house is not in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is actually very far from where the area in which his house is. I don't want to talk like I know where his house is. I don't know where his house is. The area in which his house is in Calabasas is far from Los Angeles. I believe he had a home in the Hollywood Hills. That's not as far. I would say that that's a little bit more LA. But my guess is that he's not going to be in Chicago unless maybe there's like a high rise. But then again, like I said, I don't know enough about Chicago to understand if he could actually be living in Chicago if he actually is living there. But I mean, you know, I guess that'd be cool. He's got this album supposed to drop, Yandy. We're confused again. He's talking about putting out an album called Yandy, and then he's wearing, there's a photo of him wearing the Make America Great Again hat with him wearing a sweatshirt with Colin Kaepernick on it. Is that the person or the artist? We're confused. I don't know. What I do know is that if this man keeps dropping these Yeezys, he might be able to say whatever the fuck he wants. I'm just saying. Because he's saying some wild shit, going on TMZ, saying some crazy stuff, and then having to go and do an interview with Charlamagne to fix it, looking like somebody to beat his ass with a bottle of peroxide, looking like Stan in the Eminem video. Sunken place. Whole house looked like a sunken place. House looked like a museum though, for real, in that Charlamagne interview. But we don't know. I don't know what's going on with that man. What I do know is that these Yeezys he keeps dropping are fire. The music continues to stay lit. His wife continues to ride for him, and he keeps on making babies. So everything else he's doing just seems to be extra. It seems like the rest of his life is going pretty well. Whenever he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, God. But whenever he designs some stuff, we're like, oh, my God. I wonder if because we all, like, love the shit that he puts out or creates, that if he's just like, I can say anything and people will love me. That backfired. He learned that the hard way. Someone in an interview, I forget who it was, someone who's friends with him was saying that it's not that Kanye doesn't want to be informed. He wants the information, but he's going to come to his own conclusion with said information. And if he only has so much information, he's going to make a decision based off that information. Well, somebody needs to keep this brother informed. And at the same time, he's Kanye West. So it's not like he could just be out and about, you know, hit a coffee shop and be like, hey, man, like, you know, what's going on these days? No. You can't do that shit. You, your wife, are two of the most famous people in the world. You ain't gonna go out to grab coffee. What, you gonna go run down to Chipotle? Just have some conversations with some people? Yeah, right. That's not happening. Good luck with that, buddy. Getting swarmed by people as paparazzi follow you from your home to Chipotle. TMZ, same day. Kanye West orders steak and pinto bean burrito with a side of queso. Gives a shit. You can't do that stuff. So you have to rely on people who are close to these areas to keep you informed. I'm not speaking on the people around you. I'm just saying that's usually how it goes. So if that's how it goes, it ain't going like that, then our answer to you when you ask a black person about Kanye West is, shit, I don't know. Do you?